I'm going to share with you snippets of different scenarios that I experienced as an unworthy Talmid of one of the Gdolei Ador. I was a late teenager when I entered the Shir of Avraham Lichtenstein in the late 60s. And his English was beyond me. His Hebrew was beyond me. To a large extent, I had difficulty simply understanding the conversation, the discourse. And that's how I began. He was a young man in his late 30s. And at that time, he was clearly sholeit in Kol HaTorah Kula. Kol Michmani HaTorah were open to him. And simultaneously, when he said the shir, he also made every effort that the shir should be in sync with his father-in-law, Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal, that he could attend that shir as well. So a whole group of us, who are literally youngsters, would attend the shir at the same time, his shir, and then accompany him to the shir of his father-in-law, Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal. So I'm just going to, as I said, by way of almost streaming, share with you snippets. I just like to begin with Dr. Jachtkowitz, refer to a beautiful Gemara in Maseches Yom, a famous Gemara that Rav Aaron interpreted dialectically, which really was the very essence of his persona. Everything was dialectic. Everything was nuanced. Everything was seen in every possible light. He would explore every possibility and somehow then put it together in the most beautiful way. So I'll start with, I was a avid basketball player. On a number of occasions, I'm playing basketball in the yeshiva, and all of a sudden, I see, not far from me, a going to Baron Lichtenstein, laying down with Svarim, which he carried generally about 10 of them at a time, all the Rambams, sometimes a Shas, sometimes a few Gemaras. And he comes down, is observing what's happening on the basketball court. And I can almost imitate him. Maybe a moment of self-indulgence would be in order. And all of a sudden he puts his Svarim down and proceeds to join the basketball team. I was astounded. He had a wicked hook shot. He played very clean. When someone fouled him, which was rather often, there were one or two gentlemen there, if you can call them that, on the basketball court who left what to be desired. They were rather warlike in their temerity. Navarro would say, "Oh, excuse me, I apologize profoundly." This went on the basketball court on an ongoing basis. So that's the dialectic that Dr. Jotkowitz spoke about. Competitive spirit, unquestionably, but accompanied by an ava, a brotherliness, a fraternity, a chesed, bedal machavero, that was amazing. He was always the one apologizing. When others fouled him, I was astounded how they could foul one of the Gdolei Ador. But they didn't seem to have difficulty. They were so embroiled in the competition and so ensconced in it, they didn't realize with whom they were playing. And very early in the shir, one day, Rav Aaron tells us that there's no way to be an Ovid Hashem without studying the Fairy Queen. I didn't have a clue whom the Fairy Queen was. I thought it was some queen in England, and she must have had some fairy attached to her. I then went to the library to explore the Fairy Queen and discovered that not only was that one of his favorite, but anyone who knew Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, he was not just a goon in Kol HaTorah Kula, but had, I can't even begin to testify to his voluminous knowledge of literature and the like. And Milton was one of his favorites. And so he made this statement about the Fairy Queen. I then went to read the Fairy Queen. It took me quite a while. And then I found it to be, to a large extent, I didn't see how it connected to my Avodas Hashem. So then I went over to HaGoyin Labaron Soloveitchik Zatzal, who is a Mishpacha. He's the Shatchin for Rabban Lichtenstein. They were in Chaim Berlin together. And I asked Rabban Soloveitchik, can I ask Rosh Yeshiva a question? He said, yes. I heard from my Rebbe, Rabban Lichtenstein, that without the fairy queen, you can't be Neved Hashem. So he looks at me and says, and what does the young Bacha think? That's what I was. I said, the young Bacha thinks that if you study Sefer Tehillim, that will give you, will lead you to Avodas Hashem. So he said, Rabban, the young Bacha is gerecht, referring to myself. Lamered mit Rabban, let's go speak with him. Rabban Soloveitchik then texts me. The moment Lichtenstein sees Rabban Soloveitchik from a distance of, I don't know, probably hundreds of meters, he starts running at top speed to Rabban Soloveitchik. And what I saw, that alone was enough to absolutely put me in a state of unbelievable ema. His covet in Derech Eretz, Rabban Soloveitchik, was absolutely lo yu'umi ki yisupa. The first thing he does, he says, Rashiva, in Yiddish, they're speaking in Yiddish to each other. What can I do to be mishamish you? What should I do? No. This is a young bache, a big kumin, and wants to discuss something about the fairy queen and what. And he asked Rabaran, did you say this? So Rabaran quickly says to Rosh Yeshiva, do I have permission to speak? He asked him for permission to speak. And after that, so Rabaran said, of course. Then he proceeds for about 15, 20 minutes to go into a lengthy dissertation on the fairy queen. And after 15, 20 minutes, so Rabban Soloveitchik says to him, by the way, Derech Agam, Rabban Lichtenstein says to Rabban Soloveitchik, did you read the fairy queen? So Rabban says, Abada, of course. And I think the young Bacher is not completely incorrect that one can gain Avodas Hashem by a Sefer Tehillim. There's not really a necessity. And then to read the fairy queen. As a matter of fact, Rabban Soloveitchik said, there were many Gdali Yisrael that didn't read the fairy queen and came to Avodas Hashem, Kach Shamati Mipiv Kodsho, Rabban Soloveitchik. Rabban Lichtenstein didn't say a word. Quiet. In the late 60s, I was in Ishir, again a young teenager. And one fine morning, Rabban Lichtenstein tells us, we have to march on behalf of Biafra. Who's Biafra? I'm old Nidke Held from Biafra. They're a nation in Africa that received their freedom. And therefore, we have to march on their behalf. But there's a tznai called the Maisa. We're not going to miss the shir just because of Biafra. So everyone had a sign. They're going to come to the shir. And yet, still march on Biafra. We march on behalf of Biafra. And there I met Martin Luther King, the only time in my life. And another well-known personality related to a famous Chassidus Gadol. And they were walking together with Rabban Lichtenstein. I didn't have a clue what exactly we were doing. I was a very young man. There was bloodshed, not only there, but in many other countries that received their freedom. And Rabban Lichtenstein felt we have to Ima Anochi Bitzara. Next day, I come back to the yeshiva, and two Rashi yeshiva accost me. I'm going to Rabbi Yochum Gerelik, and I'm going to Rabbi Nachum Bornstein. Rabbi Yochum Gerelik says to me, Abuz Mizgeben Nechten, where were you yesterday? You weren't in the shiur room. The shiur was much earlier, and he was next door. So I says, well, we went to march on behalf of Biafra with the Rebbe. So Rabbi Gerelik says, Mitvemin? With whom did you go? With the Rebbe. He took you to march on behalf of Biafra? Was there a fellow in the cup? Did he lose his mind? You got him into Tunkala? I'm using that Lashon to be politically correct, as opposed to the other more classic Lashon. And Rabbi Nachum Bornstein joined, so they quickly go to Rabban Lichtenstein with me in tow to talk to him. And they proceed to berate him right in front of me. I was partially embarrassed in Yiddish. He doesn't say a word. Went on for a half hour. First, one of them usually takes the lead in this shutfis of two talmidim with the briskov. And the other one just joined the fray. I was astounded. He didn't say a word. After a half hour, they go and leave. So I asked Rabbi Lichtenstein, Rebbe, how come you didn't react to these two? Do you agree with them? So he said, what? These two golden rods, Talmidim from Briskov, I'm going to open up my mouth. Kach reini. Of course, he didn't agree with them. When our Soloveitchik came to say a tshuva drasha or a yahrzeit shir, he was always accompanied, usually by members of his family, his son-in-law, a rabbi professor Tversky, zecher tzaddik lebracha, and Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, zecher tzaddik lebracha. And the moment Rav Aaron again would espy the Rav walking on the street, walking to Lamport Auditorium, he'd start running at top speed. Right away, he would take the Rav's coat. He took off his boots, his rubbers, his scarf. He was mishamish him. Ke'ilu, he was mishamish his own parents. I wasn't zecher to see that. You probably, Dr. Jackowitz, saw it. When his father was blind towards the end of his life, I saw a number of times with his parents. But the shimush and the derecher that he showed for his shver was astounding. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein once invited one of the Gdolei Rashi Yeshiva who learned in Tells, Rav Arnest, zecher tzaddik lebracha. But in order to invite him, he had no telephone. He didn't even own a refrigerator. He had an ice box in his house, literally a cavernous hole in the ground with ice inside, and the food was placed there. I'm not talking about in the 1700s. So what happened? Rav Aaron said, we have to go and bring the Rosh Yeshiva here. So the whole Shia goes and walks in Washington Heights to bring Rav Arnest. When the time comes, he appointed four or five of us to be the ones who will go into his apartment. And he led this group. We go into his apartment, Rav Arnest. And then to see the cover that he showed for this Rav Arnest, again, awesome. We accompanied him several blocks all the way to the yeshiva. And then he introduced him in Yiddish, which most of us didn't understand. I did. I grew up on Yiddish. And then he said the shir, Rav Arnest in Yiddish. He learned in Tells in Europe. He was a goyim. He knew every Rashi Mishnah since Royim, I think, Balpe. It was clear. It was way beyond us. And then after the shir was over, Rav Arnest sat down. And then Rav Lichtenstein proceeded to translate the shir of Rav Arnest, which took 3.5 hours. He just expanded on it, elaborated on it, of course, in English. And then on the way home, we were malavi him again. Unbelievable. There are cheretz for Talmidei Chacham for Gedolei Elul. To me, he was very intimidating and very frightening. I don't think Dr. Jackowitz Shlita, who somehow, Baruch Hashem, was zocher to a personal relationship. We were frightened of being called on in the shir, not much different than the shir of Rav Soloveitchik. The same fear, the same Meir Rabbah Kemer Shamayim. When I was a Rosh Hashiva in Toronto, Rav Aaron came to test Talmidim. He would test them ke'ilu, each Talmud before him was a Bikibeg of the door. They could barely read a Pasuk in Chumash, let alone a Black Gemara. Each one was tested for 2.5 hours. He tested them on the whole Masechta. They didn't have a clue what was going on. Spent hours. There were two occasions where he was in Ovel, once for his mother, once for his father, Aleihem HaShalom. So he asked me if he could daven mincha. So I said, of course, for the omen. So he told me that he's not into Hechdik Kedusha. That's not his thing. He wants Chazaras Hashatz. So I explained to him, Chazaras Hashatz is fine, but we only have a limited amount of time because they have to play basketball afterwards. And that's more chosher than anything else. He didn't fully grasp that. He told me, Zelechud v'zelechud. And so he proceeded to daven mincha. Hishmaneser belachash took the entire mincha and probably most of their shachris. By the time he finished, there were only two people left, he and I. So I said to him, Rebbe, I don't think we can have Chazaras Hashatz. There's nobody here. So he said to me, where did they go? We just davened Shmaaseh Balachash. Now we need Chazaras Hashatz. He's saying Kaddish. I explained to the Shiva that they go to the play basketball. He said, how could they both play basketball without hearing Chazaras Hashatz? I said, it's very possible. And so I had to go and retrieve them from the basketball court in order to have Chazaras Hashatz. It cost me a pretty penny. called incentivization. I remember at one point he decided to say a shiur in Hashkafa. The shiur on a daily basis was 2 hours. And then he decided to say, beside that, Hashkafa. So one year he said, Hashkafa, dogma in Judaism. So everyone was afraid to ask him, what's dogma? So he went on for 6 months. No soul knew what dogma was. He went through the history of dogma in philosophy, in literature, in halachic literature. And finally, one fellow said, Rabbi, what's dogma? What have you been talking about for 6 months? Rabbi Hussein didn't bat an eyelash and said, oh, would you like me to review the last 6 months? I came to many chasanas sitting together with Hagoyin Rav Amital Zatzal and Hagoyin Rav Hussein Zatzal, two Rashi Yeshiva. I never saw such a shukpis in my entire life. How is it possible? They literally loved each other. It was Abbas, Yonason ben David. And now I got to tell you the following story. It happened 3 times. I saw it. I'm sitting at a chasana. And the chasan comes down. Everyone stands up. Bifnei Melech. Both two Rashi Yeshiva stood up. Everyone stood up. The kala came down. Everyone stood up. Rav Amital stood up. Rav Lichasin remained seated. So Rav Amital says to Rav Lichasin, Rabbi Aaron, was is das? In Yiddish. What's going on? Everyone's standing up. Rav Aaron says, I'm thinking through my knowledge of the entire Shas and Poskim. I don't see any mokar for it. What's the mokar? So Rav Amital says to him, was is das? Al tifash min atibor. So right away he stood up. So I asked Rav Lichasin afterwards, if there's no mokar, why did he stand up? So he said, Rashiva, mir gezog. Rashiva told me to stand up. And he gave some explanation, al tifash min atibor, which I'm not sure is relevant. But the Rashiva told me, I had no choice. This happened a second time, at a second wedding, and a third time at the third wedding. I said to myself, what is going on here? What, we repeat the scenario every single time at every wedding? So I asked Rav Lichasin, why? So he says to me, you asked me 3 times about going up to Har HaBayis in 21 years. First you asked me once, and I told you that my shver is opposed to it, I'll celebrate you. Then you asked me a second time, and I sat down with you about 12 years later, and we learned all the sugars in Taurus and Rambams. He spent about 3 hours with me, showing me the highways and byways of this issue. And then you asked me another 7 or 8 years later, and I told you I'm not holding by it because it says in Migdoshi Tiro, I'm not holding by you, Migdoshi Tiro. You're a Shur Amur, so I can be a Shur Amur too. He had a sense of humor. The Kolo in the Yeshiva University, the Gus Kolo, so Rabban was officially the Rosh Kolo, and said Shiur in there. Once a week he used to come on Sunday. So for many years he said Shiur in Lashon HaKodesh in Hebrew. And the Kolo had difficulty with his Hebrew. It was a very high-level Hebrew that Rav Aaron spoke. As a matter of fact, every Yom HaTzmaut in YU, in Yeshiva University, he said the Shiur Lashon HaKodesh in Hebrew. To many of us, there wasn't much of a distinction between the Hebrew and the English. We didn't understand the Hebrew or the English. So Rav Aaron Lichasin saw that a lot of the Chabrim and the Kolo were not attending the Shiur. So he asked me what to do. So I asked him, why is he asking me? This is a number of years ago. Why did he ask Hagoyin Rav David Miller, the Rosh Kolo? So he said, Rav Miller said, ask Avishai David. And this is many, many years later after I was in the Shiur. Of course, several decades later. So I didn't answer it. I didn't think it was my place to tell Rav Lichasin what to do. So every week he asked me, Nu, have you decided what I should do? So I just didn't respond. Finally, after 6 months, he became frustrated with me and said, okay, make a decision right now on the spot. I said, switch the shiur to English. Maybe the chaverim and the kolel will now come. So that week, I went around to every single chaver in the kolel, told them they have to come because the shiur is now being given in English and they won't have any problem understanding it. They all came. After the shiur, Lichasin comes over to me and says, Ayashikach Godel, look at this. The whole chaver, all the chaverim and the kolel came. The shiur was in English. Obviously, it was the correct decision. Next week, not one of them showed up. So I went over to him. I was embarrassed, beyond embarrassed. Why didn't you come? We didn't understand a word of what he's talking about. His English is at a different level. I asked Rav Lichtenstein on a number of occasions, at what point are you mekayim the mitzvah tzedakah? So he shows me a series of Rambams and Gemaras and Ksubis and Baal Basra, a few other places. And then I said to him, could you summarize it for me? So he says to me, when you feel the pinch in the pocket, that was the lashon that he used. I remember that Ari Yom Hazeh. He brought me psukim. He showed me riots from Rishonim, Ksubis, and Baal Basra. It was about an hour and a half discussion. And I wanted him just to summarize it. And he said, when you feel the pinch in the pocket, that's when you're mekayim the mitzvah of tzedakah. I remember going to a convention of Rabbonim. I'm a bit embarrassed to say this. And there was one Rav who was a chutzpan. And there were questions and answers after the shiur that he gave. And one Rav said to Rav Lichtenstein, how does he explain one of his children went off the derech? Rav Aaron was taken aback. I was also taken aback. I didn't know who he was talking about. One of his children moved more to the yeshiva world side of things. I couldn't believe this. And then he had to explain himself because Rav Aaron didn't know what he was talking about. So with tears in his eyes, he started crying. And he answered, Kulam Ahuvim, Kulam Berurim, Kulam Giberim, Kulam Tzadikim, Kulam Isim Me'em Babiyira Vitzan Kana. The only suffix I had ever about Rav Aaron Lichtenstein was what was greater, his tzidkus, his righteousness, or his goyness. He was a goyin, as Dr. Jaskowitz said, in Kol Mechmani Ater. There was nothing he was not aware of. I never heard him say a word of Lashon Hara in all the years I had a connection. He didn't know how. As a matter of fact, Rav Aaron told the following story. When he was a youngster, he said, I think in fourth grade, Eastern Parkway, where he grew up, I don't remember the name of the yeshiva, there were a bunch of rowdy students, as is the wont of young students. And at one point, the Rebbe left the class, and one student, apparently out of control, broke a large plate glass window, which was obviously a major nezek. The Rebbe came back, and the Rebbe said, who did this? About 30 kids in the class, Rav Aaron said, not a word. No one's going to snitch on the student who did it. So Rav Aaron said to himself, he was in fourth grade, am I mechuyev al pidin to reveal this piece of information? So he said, I started examining it based on this thesis, based on that thesis. I thought according to one side, I'm not. Then I felt according to the Chafetz Chaim, Shmir Saloshin, according to a certain Ha'ara, I'm mechuyev to do so. So he then decided after that thinking to reveal it. Eo das keton, he did it. And then he said, Bezal Loshin, I was pummeled unceremoniously after class. For years, I didn't understand. Why did they treat me in such a fashion? Apparently, they held like the other tesis. The element of humility, the anova. He was really easily approachable. Once I got past a few hurdles, I used to approach him on an ongoing basis. And his humility was unbelievable. A number of times he told me, every time he would cite a Gemara, we didn't have necessarily Gemaras with us, to be in a room without Gemaras, and he would tell me, okay, you'll take a look at Krisus Tachof, at Erchin Yutes. You look in the Masechah Sofer in Perek Chof, this halacha. So I was astounded by this kind of bekiyus. So then he told me, with his characteristic humility, there's a special al-chet for people who have to demonstrate their knowledge of the page number every time a passage of Gemara is quoted. I said, which al-chet is that? And he told me, al-chet shedibarnu dofi, that we've spoken the daf. I remember 1968, I was sitting in the shir, and Rameir Lichtenstein, Sheibad al-Chaim Arukim, was 5 years old, approximately. He used to come every Sunday with his bat and baseball cap to play ball with his father, except his father was in the middle of the shir. And the shir on Sunday usually was much longer than the average shir. And so there were a few gentlemen who wanted the shir to end, so we would quickly usher him into the room. And he then would proceed to go and utilize his bat right near his father. And Rabbanan would respond, a few moments, I'm in the middle of the shir. I'm occupied at this point. You tell this to Rameir. I guess Rameir, if he remembers. Rameir then responded to him in three languages, Hebrew, French, and Yiddish, and English, because Rabbanan spoke Hebrew to his children. Dr. Tovah Lichtenstein spoke English. Rabbanan spoke French fluently, even though he left France when he was a year old. And he also, his Yiddish was quite good. I pursued Avraham Lichtenstein for about 5 years. I wanted him to write a letter which would essentially justify students who came to Eretz Yisrael to learn for a year, year and a half, and then change their plans, as opposed to going to secular universities, would then either go to Yeshiva University or would go to a different kind of venue. And these are individual students who signed contracts when they are seniors in high school and felt that they cannot void these contracts. And I had a machlokes with a famous Menahel in one of the famous high schools in the United States. It was Menahel Frisch for many, many years. And he and I had an ongoing machlokes regarding this because he felt they all should go to Ivy League colleges, should receive academic education, a high standard, et cetera, et cetera. But I felt that it was far better for them to be in a yeshiva setting together with their ability to pursue professional academic titles and the like. And so it took me 5 years to convince him. 5 years. After 5 years, he was masked. And he wrote a letter, which recently I was able to reproduce. I forgot to bring it with me. I would read it to you. You would see how Avraham would write a letter. His letters were, Moli v'godush lomdis, intellectual analysis, sensitivity to all the parties that were involved. Just absolutely incredible. His hasmoda was astounding. But when he spoke to you, he was completely directed his attention to you, completely. Total gishav adas. Kilio, the only person in the world that he had to deal with. I'll just mention the dialectical element that I found to be embedded in his entire approach to learning, to life. And I will mention something that I heard from him probably close to 50 years ago on Pasha Shmini that we just read. He noted that Rashi the Medezra have a machlokes by Hi Bayom Hashmini. What day are we referring to? Rashi learns it's Echad ben Nisan. We have 7 days that precede that. The Mishkan was erected and dismantled on a daily basis. And finally, the entire matter was concretized on Echad ben Nisan. According to Ben Ezra, we're talking about the eighth day of Nisan. Whatever the position is, Rashi the Ibn Ezra, we're talking about a day that was obviously a day of Chagigah, a day of Yom Tov. The Gemara has actually in Gittin, Daf Samach, the Gemara said that Shemona Parshios Nemru Balso Yom, the Gemara in Shabbos Pei Zayin, Yom Zeh Natal Asar HaToros, many comments Chazal had about that day. So it was a day of a tremendous chiddush of what Rav Aaron would call Rishoniyut. It was a sense of Yitchatshut that suddenly took place. But Mitzad Sheni, what happened? The day-to-day regimen began. It's one of Aaron's favorite themes. He spoke about many, many times. Namely, a person on a daily basis works, has a certain regimen. It could be dry, it could be jejun, it could be insipid, it could be tasteless, it could be not exciting. According to Rashi, this clearly comes to the fore because during the course of 7 days, they erected the Mishkan, dismantled the Mishkan. The Mishkan was a temporary, provisional kind of structure. And obviously, the eighth day, now they enter that regimen. But even according to Ibn Ezra, that he learns, we're talking about the eighth day of Nisan. Also, clearly, there's an element of Chagigiyut as well, undoubtedly. And Rav Chisney referred to a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Lamed Daled, the Moshe wore Big Day Laban. The Gemara has twice, two or three times in Shas, the Gemara mentions this, that he wore Big Day Laban during that 7 day period, Choluk Laban, not Big Day Kahuna. Rashi points out that Big Day Kahuna are destined for Kohanim, Amiyu of the Kohanim, and Moshe was a Zar, the Alpi Adibu Shimesh. Tesis argues and says the reason that Moshe could not wear the Big Day Kahuna, they were not yet Niskadesh, they weren't yet sanctified, but even Tesis is masking that Moshe Rabbeinu serving as a Kohen was a special dispensation. And the regular regimen began Biyom HaShmini. So there, Rav Chisney went into an entire discussion about two roles. The role of Moshe Rabbeinu during the 7 days, Choluk Lavan, as a Novi, Alpi Adibu Shimesh, and the role of Aaron HaKohen as a Kohen during the regimen on a daily kind of basis. Essentially, he contrasted Mitzvah HaNoshim Ulubada, what we do on an ongoing basis, Shnayim Layom Ola Samid, with the element of Chiddush, and indicated that that is exactly how a person should lead his life. Primarily, there should be a regimen on a daily, ongoing kind of basis, a certain self-discipline that one imposes. There's a need for spontaneity, a need for Chiddush, a need for excitement. And that theme runs through many, many of Rav Aaron Lichtenstein's Chiddushim and many of his Shiurim and Hashkafa. I heard him speak about, he spoke to a group of people who were about to go to Poland. And I was present a fair number of years ago. And I'll just perhaps end with this because I'm probably beyond my pale. I have a lot more to go, but I can't. He pointed out to the audience of young people that you're about to depart to one of the most blessed lands and one of the most cursed lands, Svedinim, even in Poland. A land that was so vibrant in Jewish history, Mitzad Echad, but a land that Rachman Litzan became the largest Jewish graveyard in the world, Mitzad Sheni. So it's going to be a trip that will enrich you on the one hand, but also a trip that will expose you to endless pain. Hopefully it will promote your growth as a Jew, as a human being. Rav Aaron referred to a Mishnah in Maseches Erechim. Because when speaking of Hegdish, at the end of Vayikra and Bechukosai, the Torah outlines a procedure to redeem Hegdish. I'm talking about not when there's a Gdus Saguf, but when the Hegdish owns property. How do you put a price tag on this property? So the answer is, Bimkomo Vishato. We're all born in a certain kind of zeitgeist, in a certain epoch, in a certain geographic locus. Al Korcha Tanolad. Now you're leaving Mekoma Vishato. People do it all the time. The goal is to transcend Mekoma Vishato. But on the other hand, we are still anchored. So Rav Lichtenstein indicated that that's what's happening when these students are about to go to Poland. A sense of dialectic. That sense of dialectic also was present the year before Rav Lichtenstein came to Eretz Yisrael. I was zeicha to hear shiurim from him on Inyan Yisrael. It was clear he was head of Eretz Yisrael. He said many, many shiurim that I was zeicha to hear, literally tens and tens of shiurim relating to not only the overview, all of Mishnah Yisroel in the course of 1 year, but we were introduced to a lot of the most fundamental sugyas in Shas, Kedusha Rishayna, Kedusha Shniya. He discussed at great length the double Kedusha of Yerushalayim as being a Chelik of Migdash, which is Rav Soloveitchik's Chiddush. But he then took that Chiddush and said 2 weeks of Shiurim on this Chiddush, proving for all of Shas this dual element that's present in Yerushalayim. Rav Lichtenstein was an astounding personality. Sonua, Nechbal Akelim, Shein Kamo. A sensitivity to humanity, to human beings, that was incredible. And a tzaddik, you said, a goyin and a tzaddik at the same time. He was very complex. And complexity is something which is not very popular, b'zmanei no ano. People don't like complexity. This door wants black and white. Everything has to be crystal clear. That's not what Rav Lichtenstein was all about. I remember speaking a number of times to Agoyin Rav Meir Lichtenstein Shlita, Yedidenu. So he told me, David, Abaya Shalcha, Shata Adayin Lo Zasta, Tizuzwa Achad Meyashur Shalsada. Ata Adayin Yoshev Shana. You're still sitting in the Shia of our Salavetchen. You're still sitting in the Shia of my father. You haven't moved one iota. Did you know the world has changed? Rav Meir told me. So I told the mayor, "Mipchinati, mi omer lecha shehashinuyim ha'elu hem shinuyim chiyuviyim?" Who says it's good? I want to bring the world of yesteryear back to our world today. I think there's a lot of value to that. That's how I see generally my tafkin. Rav Lichtenstein felt that the whole shiur should go into chinuch. We were in a shiur of about 120 talmidim. He felt that everyone should go into chinuch or rabbanus. So someone told him that there are other professions. So he said, I'm not familiar with that. There's a need for mechanchim, a need for rabbonim, and that's where they should go. I spoke to him about my aliyah to Eretz Yisrael 25 years ago. And he encouraged me to make aliyah. But he again warned me. He told me what his shver, what Rav Soloveitchik said, if one is a Rav, a Mechanech, and Chutz Aretz, and that's where his role is, and he's accomplishing tremendous things, he should continue to do so. But if he feels he can also do the same in Eretz Yisrael, he should obviously make Aliyah, because he saw Eretz Yisrael as being the future of Jewry. Dynamics of Jewish life, I heard him say a number of times, are all here in Eretz Yisrael. When he left Chutz Aretz, it was a shock and a loss beyond belief. Everyone thought that the Chasna the Ben Nisiya was going to be replaced his Shver, his father-in-law, but it wasn't meant to be. But no question, he enriched Eretz Yisrael beyond belief, built a yeshiva, L'Shem U'Tiferes, produced thousands of Talmidim, and unquestionably his legacy is one that will remain the Dori Doros, the Netzach Nesach. Thank you.